Amen. It is good to have Brother Nelson with us this morning, and we'll have him come on and preach to us. And I want him to comment about the song. That was awesome. So.
Your Bibles, you can turn to Romans. Romans chapter 5.
Turned on here. Romans chapter 5. And again, it is an honor to be with you this morning. Thank you, Pastor Crawford, for allowing us to come and be a part of this mission's Emphasis Sunday. And it's like my pastor always says, we have a conference in October. He has a conference there at the church. And he always says, whatever we decide to do this week will be what God decides to do with us next year. And because, like he said, missions is the heartbeat of God. Seeing people saved, that is the heartbeat of God. And but if you find your place in Romans chapter 5, you can stand out of the honor of reading of the Word of God. In Romans chapter 5, and beginning at verse number 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, over the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." And I want to preach on that thought just for a little while, through one man. Through one man. If you read through that passage and you underline, you would find that phrase over and over. Through one man. Through one man. One man's obedience. One man's disobedience. And I want to talk about that this morning. Through one man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You again for our time. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. And Lord, I thank You for the truths that it holds. And Lord, I just pray that this morning, Lord, You would help me to move out of the way. I pray Your Holy Spirit would work. And Lord, I pray if somebody's lost, doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, Lord, I pray this morning that they would come to know Him as Savior. Lord, I pray for Christians that are here, maybe battling some things. Lord, I pray that they'll turn loose of it and Lord, turn to You, Father. And Lord, I just pray that You'll work in each and every heart, Lord. And I pray that You'll just do a magnificent work here this morning. For if You will, Lord, I'll give You all the praise and glory for what's said and done. For I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I look throughout history and I've seen, you can see it throughout all history, where one person influenced a great many people. And I just did a quick study on it, and I found one man that by the name of Henry Ford. He played a vital role in making automobiles what they are today, and we have the benefits of it. Thank the Lord. We don't have to travel around in a horse, buggy, and carriage, and I'm sure the pastor's thankful that there's not a lot of horses sitting out on the driveway or out in this parking lot this morning. But thank goodness we have automobiles that we have available today. But listen, the influence came through one man, Henry Ford, of how the vision came to be. But not only him, but I saw in history as well, Benjamin Franklin, another man who invented the lightning rod and the iron furnace, the bifocal glasses, and even the odometer. Now, we could have done without that. Amen. Like I said, drive down the highway, just go till it feels right. But I don't recommend that. And like I said, the trooper down the road probably won't recommend that either. But he invented the odometer, what we have today. Thomas Edison, who held a world record of 1,093 patents. His inventions were the light bulb and phonograph, batteries, and even cement. He came up with the process of creating cement, the way we have these highways today, these roads, all these things came through the influence of one man. Also, and lastly here, another man who had great influence, I guess great impact on when you look back in history, is another man by the name of Alexander Graham Bell. And anybody can imagine what he invented. He invented the telephone. And I thought I'd hear some ladies say amen on that, but invented the telephone. And listen, it's amazing that through one man, listen, I can pick up my cell phone and I can call somebody on the other side of the world. Well, just in a matter of seconds. Why? Through the influence of one man. That's what I want to talk about this morning. This passage, it deals with a comparison and a contrast of justification versus condemnation. Paul's helping the people of Rome here. And listen, he's helping us here in Hazlet this morning to understand what the potential of what one man can do for good, what one woman can do for good, but also what one man can do for evil. We talked about good things, but I can tell you in history, one man that caused a lot of evil by the name of Adolf Hitler. And I can tell you, you could go through the history of men that created evil as well. But I want to take several different events through the course of history, and I want to use that to demonstrate the potential of what one man can do. Number one is, through one man, sin entered into the world. And really, back in verse number 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all is sinned." And if you have your Bible still open, you can turn to Genesis chapter 3 and Genesis, the book of beginnings. And listen, if you want to find out, I like studying history. I love studying history when I was in college. And one of the reasons I love studying is because if you want to know what direction you're heading, you need to study the past. You need to study where it all started. And in Genesis chapter 3 is really where it all started, with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden there. And God had given them a commandment. He told them, he said, "Of any tree of this garden you can eat." But he said, "There's one tree that you cannot eat." And what did they do? They ate of that tree. And because of that, chapter number 3, and let's read a little bit of scripture here in chapter 3, verse number 8, the Bible says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden of the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, 'Where art thou?' And he said, 'I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree?'" This was that tree that he told him not to eat. "Whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat. And the man said, 'The woman.'" You like how he did that? It wasn't me. It was the woman. "It was the woman that you gave to me. And that thou gavest to be with me. She gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Now listen to what she does. "And the Lord said unto the woman, 'What is it that thou hast done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat.' And the Lord God said unto the serpent, 'Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life.'" And he goes on to say that sin entered into the world that very day, that very moment. Listen, all of a sudden the times of sin started ticking on man. All of a sudden, listen, the days started becoming numbered for man. Adam and Eve were created to live forever. They never were going to die. They never could have got sick. Listen, they lived in a place that was beautiful, a place that was perfect, a place where, listen, God could come down out of heaven and walk with them, physically speaking, on the earth. They lived in a beautiful place. And listen, just because of one bad decision, one mistake, not only did they pay for it, but listen, their children pay for it. And listen, you and I, we pay for it today. Because it said, sin passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And can I tell you this morning, you and I, what we need to recognize is because of one man's poor decision that sin entered in the world. Because of that, listen, you and I this morning, we're sinners. Not by choice, but because we were born into sin. We were born into sin. I've talked to a lot of people, and I've talked to them about God, and I've talked to them about heaven, and knocking on doors, talking with folks just out and passing, going out, passing out tracts and doing that. And one of the common things that come up more than anything is they say, "Well, if this God that you're speaking of is a God of love, why would He allow all these things to take place in the world? Why would He allow wars, and why would He allow a sick child? I mean, you could go to a hospital today, and listen, there's children, children that are suffering from leukemia, battling cancer. Why would a God of love allow people to go through such things?" And I always tell them this. I say, God never intended on that. Mankind chose that. And because of that, because Adam and Eve chose that, listen, you and I today, listen, our days are numbered. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. Listen, you and I, if you've lived any time at all, listen, you know what I'm talking about, that you might maybe have loved ones or somebody that you know that has passed away, and you know that as an adult, we know that our days are numbered, and we know that we've got a short amount of time, and the reason why is because of one man's mistake. One man's mistake. I think as parents, we need to take heed to that. Because the Bible says that he invites the iniquity upon not just the parents, but listen, the children and the grandchildren, the second and third generation. And we need to take heed to the choices that we make as parents. But through one man, sin entered into the world. And listen, because of that, listen, every person's going to physically die because of that mistake. But can I tell you that there's a far fearful death that lies wait beyond the physical death, and that's the spiritual death, spoken of in Revelation. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, it talks about a second death, talks about a lake of fire, talks about a place called hell, and it talks about those that, listen, that reject Christ, listen, that's where they're going to end up. That's where they're going to be cast into. But through one man, sin entered the world. Praise the Lord for this. Through one man, hope came into the world. Hope came into the world. Back in Romans chapter 5, if you want to turn back there, I want to read just several verses that go along with this point. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "But not as the offense, so is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, listen, hath abounded unto many." Can I tell you this morning, hope is not found in a government. I mean, a president could go around and say, "Hey, we can have change, we can have change, we can have change, we can have change, we can have change," and there's hope. But my Bible says there's only one that offers hope. Listen, hope is not found in a government. It's not found in a president. Hope is not found, listen, in living a good and moral life. The Bible says that the best that we can ever do is just dirty rags in the sight of God. Listen, hope is not found, listen, in traditions. In traditions. I got to preach on a Navajo reservation there in Arizona, and as I got to preach there, I pointed this out, and listen, I saw tears coming from people's eyes. You say, "Why, Brother Nielsen?" Because that's all they've ever been taught. That's all they've ever been taught. You follow this tradition. You follow this tradition. You follow this tradition. And listen, you're going to go to heaven one day. You're going to be that way. Listen, that's just a lie straight out of hell. Listen, that's all that's going to do is lead a bunch of people into a place called hell. Tradition. People that are desiring to do the right thing, desiring to do good. But listen, hope is not found in traditions. Hope is not found in church membership or by being baptized. Hope is not found in material possessions or having great wealth. Go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Go look at a man called Solomon. And God blessed him above every man. He gave him wisdom like no other. And listen, he had a great opportunity, great ways to serve God. And what did he do? He turned away. He allowed, he had 1,000 wives. I don't know how wise that was, but it allowed him to turn his heart away from God. And you know what he said at the end of his life? He said, "It's all vanity." He said, I had such great opportunity, I don't even want to live. He said, just knowing what I could have done for God and what I've just wasted my life. Why? Because he trusted. At one point he said, "There's nothing that my eye beheld that I could not have had. I could have had anything I wanted." But you know what? Hope's not found in that. Hope is not found in that. Hope is only found in one man. Listen, He is the truth. He is the way. He is the door. He is the bread of life. He is an everlasting water. He was Emmanuel, the Bible says, meaning God was with us in the flesh, walked here on this earth. And His name is Jesus Christ. Listen, Christ by definition means anointed. He was the anointed. He was the one that they were looking for. He was the one that people were waiting for. And listen, when He came not just to do the miracles. You read in the Gospels about how He did the miracles. He came not just to raise the dead, even though that was wonderful, and that He wanted to show people, and He came and He taught. He taught the Sermon on the Mount. He taught the Beatitudes, the things that we study in Scripture. But listen, He didn't just come for that. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Listen, He came to die on Calvary. He came to offer hope to a lost and dying world. Just as we study about in the Sunday school lesson this morning, listen, God loves you more than you can ever imagine. He sent His Son. I don't know any parent that would do that. I don't know any parent. I have 4 children, and I'll be honest, I couldn't do that. To die the way Jesus died? I mean, to go through what He went through, the suffering, the beatings that He took, the mocking, the shame, the being on the cross, and the Bible says that His joints were all out of joint. And the Bible says He endured it with joy. He endured it with joy because of the hope. But listen, because He knew that you and I, we could be saved. Amen. That we could have hope this morning. I'm just here to tell you that there's only one that can offer hope. And His name is Jesus Christ. Listen, through one man sin entered into the world. Through one man hope came into the world. And I like this. Through one man there's enough power to change the world. There's enough power to change the world. If you got your Bible still open, you can turn over to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, right at the beginning of the New Testament there. And just want to look at a couple verses in Matthew 28, verse number 18. The Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power..." I want you to catch this, what he says in verse number 18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me, and in heaven and in earth." And the verse that we like to lock down on, and it's a great commission. It's what the purpose of the church right here in verse number 19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. There's two things that stand out right here as Jesus was speaking to these disciples. Number one was very found in the verse number 18, where he said, "And Jesus came and spake unto them," and he said this, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Listen to what he said at the very end of that in verse number 20. He said, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always." So, Brother Nelson, what does that tell me? He said, "Well, it tells me that if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, if I'm saved and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, listen, Jesus is living within me. And not only that, but listen, He's got all power in heaven and in earth." Listen, we can still see revival. We can still see the world one to the Lord. Why? Because we have all power. We have the Holy Spirit of God living inside us as born-again believers. And listen, we can make a difference in this dying, lost and dying world. But I want to give you three ways, real quickly, and we're going to be done. I want to give you three ways on how we can tap into this power as born-again believers. Number one, by believing that He is able. By believing that He is able. You're there almost in Mark. Turn over to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And in this passage here, Jesus is going and He's going to this man, this father. He's got this son who's demon-possessed, and he wants to cast these demons out, and the disciples come with him, and they're trying to do this, and they're having trouble. But in Mark chapter 9, and verse number 20, the Bible says, "And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tarried him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming, and he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child, and oft times it cast him into the fire, into the waters, to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us, and help us." And Jesus said, listen to what he said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." I like what the father cried out right here. He said, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." You say, Brother Nelson, how can I tap into this power? Number one, you got to believe He is able. You got to believe He is able. I worked with junior age kids for a number of years, and one of the songs I taught them was, "He's able, He's able, I know He is able." And the funny thing is, I taught adults after that. And the thing is, I found teaching adults that song needs to be more taught to adults than it does kids. Kids have no problem believing in miracles. Kids have no problem listening about a Red Sea that was parted and say, "Wow, that must have been amazing to be there." As adults, though, they listen to it and they say, "Yeah, yeah, I'm sure that happened. Yeah, You know what we need to do as born again? We just need to believe He's able. We need to believe that, listen, He created all things. All things are possible through Him. And listen, all we have to do is just, not only once we get saved, but listen, just believe that He can do the miraculous. I saw this past week a church auditorium that was just a huge warehouse. And listen, over 1 week's time, I saw a drop ceiling put in. We helped put up a wall. We put the sheetrock. We had put insulation. It didn't look like it was going to be possible to get it all done. And listen, this morning, that young man, Brother Anderson, he's preaching in almost a finished auditorium. It finished in 1 week. Why? Because God is able. He is able, but the thing is, we just got to believe. And listen, when we do, listen, I'm telling you, you're at the breaking point of tapping into God's power. Not only do we have to believe that He is able, but also listen what the disciples did right here in verse number 28. He said, "And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? Why couldn't we have the power, Jesus?" And He said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." And can I tell you the second way you can tap in, Christian, this morning to God's power? is through prayer and fasting. And I'm not talking about just praying over your food. I'm talking about getting alone with God. I'm talking about all night prayer. I'm talking about just getting alone with just you and God, and your heart's breaking. I remember in Bible college, I remember knocking on doors for several years and not seeing anybody saved, and that just burdened my heart so much that one night at work, I got so burdened and I couldn't eat, and I said, God, please, I want to see somebody saved. And I talked to people, and they said, well, just get them to church and they'll get saved. But somebody getting saved at their doorstep, that doesn't happen. That's kind of, people feel awkward. But I've read in my Bible where God's not willing that any should perish. And how do we know that they've got enough time to get to the church? My heart started breaking, and that next morning we went. That was a Friday night, Saturday morning. We went out soul winning, went door knocking, went. We were going to invite people to church, but we were going to ask them about their salvation. And got to the third door. Asked the man. I said, "If you die today, do you know where you go?" He said, "I don't." I said, "If I could show you just four simple ways, four simple things that you just need to know to be saved, would you be willing to listen?" He said, "Yes." And tears started falling from his eyes. Listen, his wife had been praying for him, praying that somebody would come by and knock on it. He said, "Brother Nelson, what was it?" "That was the Holy Spirit of God. That wasn't me. Listen, I just got alone with God. I prayed. I fasted. I fasted just putting away the food for a little while, just getting alone with God and say, God, I need this in my life." And I'm telling you, you're going to tap into the God's power. You just better step back, because God's about to do something. Listen, through believing He's able, listen, through prayer and fasting, and lastly, through a willingness of yielding one's life. I think of the story of Peter after he denied the Lord. Afterwards, he said, "Guys, I'm going fishing." And he took a few guys with him, and they went out in the boat, and they fished all night. Commercial fishermen fished all night. They didn't catch anything. Jesus appeared on the shore and beckoned Peter. Peter got eyeball to eyeball with Jesus, and he said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" I want you to catch what he said. "Lovest thou me more than fishing, more than friends, more than your family, more than this, more than that? Do you love me more than these?" And can I tell you, Peter that day said, "You know I do." So what happened to old Peter? He went from denying the Lord, being on a boat, to being on the day of Pentecost where he preached and 3,000 people got saved. You say, what was that? That was the power of God. That was the power of God. And can I tell you, all you got to do is just, God needs to, I'm not talking about just being saved. I'm talking about making God number one in your life. And if you'll do that, I promise you, you're going to see miraculous things in your life. Listen, through one man, sin entered into the world. Listen, through hope, through one man, hope came into the world. Through one man, there's enough power to change the world. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to be an average Christian. I want to do miraculous things. I want to see miraculous things in my life. I want my life at the end of it, when we're there in Canada, I want to see a work established that when people look at it, they say, "That wasn't Brother Nielsen, that was God that did that." Listen, this morning, if you're here, I'll never forget being at age 26. I grew up in church. A lot like these young people here, I remember growing up in church and being in Sunday school and morning service, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I remember growing up in church and I could sing the songs. I learned the Bible forwards and backwards. I learned stories in the Bible. But can I tell you, you can have a head knowledge and not know Jesus personally. It wasn't until I was 26, driving home from work one day, that I listened to a radio broadcast and that the gospel was given. The end times, they were talking about the end times. My mom had just passed away. And listen, and God just spoke to my heart. Like, I can't even describe to you how He spoke to my heart. And He allowed me to see my mom. I can't even describe it. He allowed me to see my mom, me and my mom standing in a field, and her being taken and me being left there. And at that very moment, it didn't matter how long I'd been in church. I just knew that if I didn't get saved, if I didn't trust Jesus as my Savior, listen, I was going to split hell wide open. And praise the Lord, I called on Him. Listen, He saved me. Can I tell you this morning, if that's you this morning, all you got to do is call on Him. Put your faith and trust in Him. Repent of yourself. You say, "You don't know, Brother Nelson, you don't know where I've been, what I've been through, what my past is." It doesn't matter. Listen, God's willing to look past that. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. Listen, I'll never forget that day. That was the greatest day of my life. And my life has never been the same since then. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for our time, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that even though we live in this sin-sickened world, Lord, that You offer hope, that You sent Your Son, that You love us more than we could ever imagine, and that Your hope is here for each person. And I pray that each person has made a decision in their heart to choose Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray for Christians here this morning that, Lord, may be struggling with some things. Maybe they're not tapped into Your power, Lord, and they're trying to teach a class or do this in the energy of the flesh. Lord, I pray that they'll, Lord, just lay it down here at the altar this morning and just tap into Your power and use them in a mighty way, Father. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask this question. I just want you to be honest with me this morning. I want to pray for you. But would you say, Brother Nelson, that's me. I don't know Jesus as my Savior. There's never been a time in my life where I've called on Him. If that be you, would you just slip up your hand? If you say, Brother Nelson, I don't know where I would go if I died today. I do not know. If that be you, would you just slip up your hand? I want to pray for you this morning. Would there be anybody in here like that would say, Brother Nelson, that's me this morning. I do not know where I would go. Would there be anybody that said, Brother Nelson, would you just pray for me? That's all I want to do. Everybody bowing their heads and closing their eyes. Nobody's looking around. I just want to pray for you that God would give you the courage this morning to step out. Would there be anybody here like that would say, Brother Nelson, that's me. Would you just pray for me? Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray You'll bless this invitation, Lord. I pray You'll have Your way. Lord, I pray You'll speak to hearts. For we ask it in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, extend Your feet.